It's a great pleasure to welcome the Psi class of 2013 to the Perimeter Institute. I'm John Berlinski. I'm the director of the program, and I'm going to be telling you some things about PSI and Psi. So let me just tell you something about the schedule. First of all, what I've written up here is supposed to happen, we're a little bit behind schedule, but it's supposed to happen between 9 and 10, so we'll try to fit that in. And after that, we'll have a short break and come back and do something else. And then at that point, you'll hear the schedule for the rest of the morning, which involves presentations by other people. So this is my plan for the next 30 or 40 minutes. Introduction to Psi, our philosophy, culture, something about the schedule for the year, something about evaluation, and I specifically, just to alert you, hope to have some time for questions and answers. Okay, so let's start out with some introductions. I'd like to start by introducing you to the Psi Fellows, who you can see here. So Tibra and Dennis are the two original Psi Fellows. They've been here since the beginning of the program. Tibra Ali got his PhD at Cambridge University, working on string theory and conformal field theory with Malcolm Perry. Tibra's from Bangladesh, should have said. He was a postdoc and a lecturer at Baylor University before coming to Perimeter. Dennis Dalitovich is originally from Russia. He did his PhD at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign with Phil Phillips and worked on the insulating to superconducting transition. So Dennis is a condensed matter physicist. He's been a postdoc at the National High Field Magnet Lab at McMaster University and also at Simon Fraser out in Vancouver. David Kibiznak, who's sitting here monitoring our communications with remote students, is from the Czech Republic originally. He got his PhD at the University of Alberta on a subject to do with the theory of rotating black holes with Valery Frolov, and he was a postdoc at Cambridge University. Dan Wones, who's sitting here, received his PhD last year at Cornell University in the area of cosmology and quantum field theory, he working with Henry Tai. Dan is from the US. Lilia Angulova, who is originally from Bulgaria, got her PhD at the State University of New York in Stony Brook with Martin Rocek on particle phenomenology and string theory. She's been a PDF postdoc at Michigan, Queen Mary's in London, Utrecht, and Perimeter. Lilia is working for Psi for the next few months until Christmas, and she's replacing Sarah Croak, who is also here, who's on maternity leave this term. Sarah is from Ireland, received her PhD from the University of Strathclyde. She's was a postdoc at PI, and she works in quantum information. The last fellow is Anna Kostuki. Anna will introduce herself to you later for reasons which will then be apparent. But there she is. Oh, yes. And of course, people that I think everyone must have met and gotten to know quite well. Debbie, who is the academic program coordinator for the Perimeter Institute, and Diana, who's the assistant academic program coordinator. So you'll also meet a number of people today. You'll meet Dawn Bombay, who's the Perimeter librarian, who I think some of you have already met. You will meet Sherry Keffer and Morgan Malinsky from the HR department, who will tell you something about what it means to work in a Canadian institute like Perimeter. Joy Montgomery will come up to talk to you about your computers. And then right before lunch, if we stay on schedule, Dan Lynch, who's the director of the Bistro, will come up and have a talk with you, which I'm sure will be the first of many. There are many, many other people who work at the Perimeter Institute, and you will certainly be meeting them as the year goes on. Okay, so let's start with a brief introduction to PSI. Let's start with the purpose. The intention of the program is to help you to make the transition from students to researchers. Many of you have come because you feel committed to theoretical physics, but you feel like you need to learn more about theoretical physics before deciding where you're going to make your mark. That's one of the things that we'll try to accomplish, which is to help you decide where your passion is. And the other thing will be to help you become comfortable with the life of a theoretical physicist, which is not taking courses, okay? But nevertheless, we approach this by giving you courses. We give you courses that are nominally in all of theoretical physics, so you'll spend a lot of time on your courses. What's perhaps at least as important is interactions with other physicists. So you're going to have tremendous opportunities to interact with other physicists at every level. So you will be interacting with the lecturers who will come to teach your courses, and with the fellows here who are very experienced both in physics and in helping you learn. You should be interacting with Perimeter faculty, of which there are quite a few. Perimeter also has a large group of postdoctoral fellows. It's very useful. I mean, history has shown that interactions between graduate students and postdoctoral fellows can be extremely valuable to the students and to the postdocs, for that matter. There are also, Perimeter has many, many visitors. Some of them we will point out to you, bring in here to talk to you. Others, because there are so many, especially when there are conferences and workshops, you'll see around, there's a list of the visitors on the Perimeter webpage. You can see who's here. Again, these are tremendous opportunities. There are quite a few PhD students here in the Institute, many of them graduates of this program. So as time goes on, you'll get to know, first of all, your predecessors and also other people who have come to study from other places. So the interactions with physicists, I would say, is an extremely important part of your experience. Please take advantage of it. And then the other thing we do is this essay, which is a research project supervised by a faculty member. We'll come back to that. Okay, so a little bit about the philosophy of PSI. Our philosophy is that we do not believe in competition among Psi students. This is not a race to see who gets first to the finish line. And we work very hard to avoid having people break up into winners and losers. We want to have Everyone do well. So we value very much cooperation in everything that you do, particularly with each other, but also with us, and actually with everyone, as we'll see. You'll be encouraged to work together in tutorials and to work together on your homeworks. The only thing that we ask is that when you write something up for submission, that it be written in your own words, in your own thoughts, things that you understand, okay? And if you've developed that understanding by talking to other people, you can give credit to them, but the point, as far as we're concerned, is that what you submit represents your understanding of the material. So we want you to help each other whenever you have the opportunity, because there is, after all, an intimate relationship between teaching and learning. And it's only when you've really learned something that you're able to teach it to someone else. If you're able to teach it to someone else, I think you'll find that you do understand. So this program has a lot of group activities, and it depends on a lot of communication. There's a couple of comments I'd like to make on that. First of all, with regard to the group activities, some people enjoy this more than others, particularly in our profession. Many people are shy. They're not always comfortable just interacting with a group of people, particularly if it's a large group of people or people that they don't know very well. So, but we would encourage you to try to involve yourself in group activities. Just make your best effort, and I guess the expectation is that as time goes on, things will become easier, go more smoothly, but you should definitely try. Communication. About half of you, roughly speaking, although some who aren't here, about half of you, English is not your native language. And it's difficult. Communication is non-trivial, sometimes very difficult. So this is an issue we try to address. Actually, for some of you, we will, or have we arranged language classes. For some people, this is actually a requirement of the university. But that's not the only reason for taking these language classes or participating in them. I think some of you whose English may be above the bar on the TOEFL, say, might still find it extremely useful to become involved in these classes. The teachers are very expert, and they can, amongst other things, if you find it difficult to make yourself understood, which is often a problem for non-native English speakers, they will teach you strategies that you can use to make things work better, okay? And they're professionals. So we've often had students who weren't required to take the language training take it anyway and actually get a lot out of it. But in any case, communication it may be difficult, it's extremely important. And hopefully, for those, you will all improve your communications abilities through interactions throughout the year. Finally, I would just comment that we understand that there is a balance between individual and group activities in theoretical physics. Sometimes you just have to go and sit in a quiet place and think or work things out. We all understand that. And that's, I think, just natural in our business. Is there a... Okay, I think it's someone hasn't muted their something. Okay. Ah, culture. Yes. Okay, so I'd like to talk to you a bit about the culture of PSI and also PI. So, first of all, I'm sure you've all noticed, those of you who are here physically present, that Perimeter is a nice place. We have new space. We've got this beautiful classroom and workroom and lots of other facilities. You'll learn that there's tremendous administrative support within, well, both in PSI. And also within the institute. The bistro is first class for the food. They have pub nights, they have wine and cheese. I think some of you got to sample on Friday. And then there are facilities for your use in the institute. So it's a really nice place to be. People might actually think that you were spoiled being here, okay? And that's okay, because this is the way it is. This is what Perimeter is like. In a sense, we have a kind of a social contract with you guys, which is basically that you should work very hard on your physics and learn an enormous amount. Do great things. And we, in turn, will take good care of you. Okay? But that's not the whole story. And so I'd just like to mention that it really matters how you conduct yourself within the Institute. It's extremely important to be respectful to the lecturers. For instance, in your lectures, people come here from far away to lecture to you. Every year, I'm recruiting people to come here. Just as we want you to have a good experience, we want your lecturers to have a good experience, if only because I might want to get them back. Okay, so this is extremely important. Similarly, for the fellows, who work hard to help you learn, and are some of whom are extremely experienced, some of whom are becoming have become very experienced, and also Debbie and Diana. But it's not only that. I mean, it's important to be, as I said, Perimeter has a lot of staff, and it's a lot of administrative staff. It's important to treat them all with respect. It's also important, actually, you have this opportunity to get to know a lot of people who work in a lot of different, who do a lot of different types of work. Okay? You should take that advantage. You should get to know as many of the people who work at Perimeter as you can, make friends with them. This would should include particularly, I mean, the bistro staff, you depend so much on them. Okay, get to know them, be nice to them. They're security people. If you work at night, physics students sometimes do, you'll get to know the security staff, you'll get to know the cleaners. Be nice to them, make friends. Similarly, some of the people you'll meet today, HR, librarians, IT. There's also outreach. Perimeter gets involved in a lot of outreach activities. You can participate in those. You're a valuable resource when it comes to interacting with the public and with young students. And there's also advancement, actually. Perimeter depends on money that is given to them, either by private donors, as such as our founding donor, Mike Lazaridis. Who was the CEO of Research in Motion, but many, some of the banks, There's people around all the time who are looking at this place and thinking, can they help? Can they contribute? And there will be opportunities for you to help out with that. The other thing it's important to do is to, so all of you are students of the University of Waterloo, and you're students of the Department of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Waterloo. We're here. They're maybe a 15 or 20 minute walk away. Nevertheless, from time to time, people will come over here. You should go over there. You should get to know some of the people in the Department of Physics and Astronomy, particularly the ones who are involved in the graduate program. Okay, so that's, let me see. It's very important to be respectful to each other, to not allow yourself to break up into cliques which are, you know, exclusive of some of the other people. Try to involve, and I know that you do because I've watched you guys a little bit on Facebook, try to involve everyone in your activities. Support each other. It's important to be sensitive to the stresses and personal sensitivities of your fellow students and other people and their problems. And it's also important to celebrate each other's success. So these are things I mentioned. I must say that the students in PSI have generally been extremely good at this. And the other thing that I think I made reference to is there will be opportunities to do things for perimeter. There will be activities where you can act as scientific resources for things with the public, for giving tours, for meeting people. There's lots of that going on. Okay, so. So people will ask you. I mean, you'll hear. Would you like to help out with this or that? When you feel that you can, please do it. Okay. So about the program. This is a outline of the. This is a broad outline of the schedule. Okay. We have this period of 4 weeks, which we call, for lack of a better term, maybe you guys could come up with a better one this year, the front end, which is a number of introductory activities. We have the core courses, and then after Christmas, the review courses and exploration courses, and then there's the time for the essay. Now, most of this is written down in a detailed schedule. I'm not sure how many of you, how well you can read that. And Nicole, I should have let you sit in the front. It's the only transparency like this. So this sort of outlines the program in more detail. And as you can see, we have core courses, three sets of two. Okay, we have this little week after each class for review of the material in the course and the interviews. And we have breaks. There's one in November. There's one at Christmas. There's one in the spring. You may notice that the schedule is completely set up to about here. Okay, there's still some discussion about some of the later courses and who's going to teach them. This is not something that you should be worried about. But for instance, the particle physics group actually gets together and decides exactly what material they think is appropriate for the students who are interested in particle physics, and they're working on that. I mean, it starts, if you like, standard model with Mark Wise, that's set. And then what's done, say, here and here they're going to be working on. Actually, there's one thing that I should have perhaps gone into a little bit more detail when I talked about interacting with people. We've learned over the years that interactions of students with Perimeter faculty members in a specific area that the students are interested in can be extremely valuable. Last year, Freddie Cachazzo had a small group of students who were studying string theory, and that worked out to everyone's benefit. What made me think of that is the particle theory. I know for people who are interested in particle physics, Philip Schuster, who's one of the young faculty members in that area, would be interested in having a small working group and some little sessions starting actually early on in the year. The opportunity to interact with Perimeter faculty can be very valuable if you know who you want to interact with or what specifically you'd like to spend time working on. We can come back to this later if there's any questions. Not too bad. Okay, so I'd like to say a little bit about evaluation. People always want to know how they're going to be evaluated. I should start by saying, what is the purpose of evaluation? There's a number of them. One has to do with the satisfaction of degree requirements of the university. I mean, we have the responsibility of ensuring that you meet the standard that the university has set. Another has to do with grad school recommendations. People often want us to write letters of reference to a company or to graduate schools that they're applying to. That can include PI. I mean, PI is not a graduate school, as you know, but all of our faculty are appointed at some university. Most of them actually at the University of Waterloo. If you're interested in doing PhD work with a Perimeter faculty member, then you would apply. Well, first of all, after getting some agreement with the faculty member, you'd apply to the University of Waterloo, and that's where you'd get your degree, just as you're getting your master's degree from Waterloo. The third purpose of evaluation is feedback for you. People seem to like to know how they're doing. We're going to try to give you some indication of that. So how do we evaluate you, by which I mean, how do we figure out whether you know what we hope that you've learned, or how much you've learned, or you know how skilled you are in the business? Okay, so we use a number of tools. So I guess one of the things is that we do not have a battery of examinations at the end of the year where the results will determine how you did. We don't do that. We don't actually have any exams at all, or only rarely. On rare occasion, if we have an exam, it's mainly for us to see whether something worked. Okay, but basically, to a good approximation, we don't have exams. We do have homework, and that is graded. We do interact with you in tutorials and in the classroom. And it's mainly the fellows who are there and are assessing these interactions and just seeing whether how comfortable you are with the material. From time to time, you'll be giving presentations, not a lot, but a few times throughout the year. Those would be, we would see how you did on that. A new aspect this year, because we found that we didn't feel comfortable in the past sometimes with our understanding of whether each student really understood the material in the courses. And so we talked for a long time, and we talked with the students about how we can do a better job of figuring this out. And so this year, for the first time, we're instituting these, what we call review and interviews, only in the first term. And there's 1 week at the end of each pair of core courses. And during that week, you'll be given some advice about material to review in the courses that you've taken. And then each of you will have meetings with the fellows to talk about those topics and things that you've learned. Okay, and this will take place in the first semester where it's most useful, and it will hopefully give us a much better picture of how things are going for you. And it will also allow us to give you some meaningful feedback at a time when it hopefully will be useful. So that number four there is the one new ingredient this year. And actually, I just call your attention. Probably no one noticed this. Oh, where's the hockey stick? Here, practice, okay? We think that this is so important that we're going to have a dry run of how these review and interviews work based on material in the front end. So that's practice for all of us to turn this into a meaningful exercise. Okay, then there's the essays and the essay defense. Okay, so classes end towards the end of April, and after that, you really have no other responsibilities other than doing research and writing your essay. and then sometime around the 1st of June, you'll submit your essay, and they will be read by a group of external examiners, three of them, plus some internal people. And then a week or so later, we'll start having defenses, which are about where each student gets an hour, but it's really like 20 minutes for you to present, 20 minutes to answer questions, and 20 minutes for us to think about what you said and for you to take a break. Okay, so that happens in the first few weeks of June. So these are all the ways that we evaluate what you've learned. And then we have some formal requirements. So let me just actually read this to you. This is a short discussion. First, as to whether you so you understand all the courses in PSI are pass or fail. So one of the questions you might have is, what does that mean? Okay. So the university, first of all, for the whole program, the university requires that you be registered in courses and that you meet a well-defined standard that qualifies for a pass. What is required to pass? First of all, there'll be homeworks in each of the courses, typically three, sometimes just two homework assignments. You're required to complete all of these in a way that demonstrates that you understand the relevant material. Sometimes the fellows will want to discuss your homework with you and satisfy themselves about your understanding. In the case of the core courses, your understanding will be explored during the review and interview week. Sometimes the fellows will give you homeworks back to improve them if they think that you could do better. And in general, For each course you pass, when it's clear that you understand the physics and have done a respectable job of writing up your solutions, and the fellows will tell you when that's happened. Okay, so that's the criteria for passing courses. For your degree, in order to qualify, you have to pass all six of the core courses, and then at least four of the review courses and at least two of the explorations. These are minimum requirements. In the past, some students have taken far more than the minimum. In addition, you must complete a short research project, which is the essay, and defend it successfully before a group of examiners. These are formal requirements of the University of Waterloo for the degree program that you're in, which is called a one-year coursework master's degree. Okay, so it's, I guess it's seven courses plus the essay. We require a little bit more in terms of the courses. Yeah, Debbie.
Well, no, the requirement to get the degree is the academic integrity.
Yes. Yes, okay. This is a requirement which you can satisfy in one evening in the fall, but it is essential. I mean, I think there's an extra chance in the spring. Okay, so those are the requirements. Okay, so I think basically that's all I have to say. And at this point, I welcome any questions that you might have. Daniel.
If we pay for sitting on a subject at Waterloo, do we have to pay for it?
You have to speak up a little bit.
If we take or sit in on a subject at Waterloo, do we have to pay for that?
I don't think so. I think as a master's student, I think you're eligible to, do you mean just sit in or register for credit?
I don't know.
Okay, either one. I think you're entitled to register for courses. The only problem with the courses at Waterloo is they tend to conflict rather badly with ours because it has to be scheduled at a time when you don't need to be here every day. So it's, I mean, they're on a completely or almost orthogonal system because they have 12 or 13 weeks of three lectures a week. And we have these 15 lecture courses plus tutorials in the afternoon. So, but there have been cases where people have taken UW courses.
Well, yes, those were the cases where people took some kind of the dancing courses.
No.
but
dancing tends to be in the evening, and there's no conflict. So. Sorry, there was another question.
How much flexibility is there to change the courses you're registered for? So if you turn up and sit in for, say, quantum information, and then you realize you want to take credit, is there any kind of flexibility within the term?
There is a lot of flexibility, and Debbie can tell you about it. I don't know what you want to say about that, Debbie.
Well, I can talk to them later.
Yeah, I think you should talk to Debbie on a case-by-case basis. But there are some things that are easy to do, and there are some things that are hard to do, and she'll guide you through that. Yes?
And what sense does the review and interview part differ from an exam in a sense? Is the structure similar?
The thing about, so we haven't actually done any of these yet except in individual cases. But I think the intention is that it should be quite a bit less formal, okay? And, talking about things that it's been suggested that you learn about and trying to get at your understanding. And also, I don't think that there's not going to be like a grade, the feedback would be, well, you need to learn more about this or that, if you see what I mean. That's the idea. But keep in mind, I don't want to tie our hands too much because we haven't actually done this, so we need to see what works.
Yeah. How soon should we choose our essay topic?
Great question. Okay, so thank you for asking that question. Okay, so first of all, it's the topic and the supervisor. okay, that these two things are very closely connected. And the answer is that it's you can't do it too soon. No one's ever done it too soon. A few people have done it too late. I think what you'll find is that if you have an idea of what you'd like to do, and you can connect with a potential supervisor, you probably have a little bit more time in the early part of the year, and then eventually things will catch up with you and you won't have any time at all, and then eventually again you'll come out the other side and then you'll be able to work full time on your essay. But I don't think that anyone has ever been disadvantaged by identifying a topic and a supervisor too early. Okay, yes. Who are eligible?
Yeah, we can only choose say PI faculty or?
Okay, no. So the supervisor, they definitely can be PI faculty. Some of the PI postdocs have played a key role in supervising, although we've always tried to have a faculty member involved. They can be, so Perimeter has faculty. It has associate faculty who have appointments at other universities and spend part of their time here. We also have affiliates. It can be, in principle, a local faculty member at a nearby university. It can be even someone further afield than that. What I like to try to insist on is that it be possible for the supervisor to attend the defense. Okay, so it should be someone, and of course, it's essential that the student and the supervisor can communicate freely during the time that the student's working on the essay. So those are the two main requirements. Okay, but it can be any qualified faculty member subject to all of those constraints. Yes?
Yep. So you mentioned these small study groups, and you mentioned the project theory. How would I go about setting that up in some other subject, such as quantum information, for example? Who would I talk to?
Yeah, well, actually, you could talk to Sarah, but she's not here all the time. But there's lots of people you can talk to. I think if you get advice from one of the fellows, or there's a number of faculty members in QI.
I mean, when you sent the email about particle physics, I wondered if you'd try to set something up yourself. So I can try and coordinate between faculty here and
that I can see. Yeah. And one thing that's important that everyone should be aware of is that there are a number of quantum information faculty members at PI, Dan Gottesman. Who else? Come on, help
me out. Ashwin Nayar.
Right, but the point is that there's also tons of them at the Institute for Quantum Computing, okay, which is, so there's lots of opportunity. And sometimes there's things that you can just go to at IQC. When is IQC moving, by the way?
I think the new building opens in September. I think the 21st is the official opening.
Okay, so when the new building opens, it will become much closer to get to TIB.
So, I mean, you can take the initiative yourself, but we try to arrange an IQC day pretty early in the year, so we can all go over to IQC and talk to all the faculties there. But you can also do things on your own initiative.
Okay. Yes, Nicole.
What's the difference between associate faculty and affiliate faculty?
The associate faculty are actually partly employed by PI. So someone might be paid 2 days a week to be here. Sungsik Lee, who's in condensed matter quantum field theory, is an example. Cliff Burgess, there's a lot of them. You can look on the webpage, you can find a list of associate faculty. Whereas the affiliates are just people who have a very, very, it's not a strong connection to PI, but they're welcome to visit whenever they want. Okay. Yes?
Do we get a copy of the detailed schedule? Is it in the web page or the schedule that you just showed us about the class?
Yeah, actually, that will be on the web page, but also I think we need to put the front end schedule. Tibro, how do they access?
We have an internal wiki, PSI wiki, which is going to be an integral part of your year here. and teaching. So the schedule would be up on the wiki, but the week-to-week schedule, there's a Google Calendar that Diana will share with you today via email. That's like the more short-term calendar. I'm trying to get the wiki set up today or tomorrow, so most of it.
Okay, I think actually time's running out, so I think we should move on to the next thing, which Anna will introduce. Oh, here, you should have the microphone. What would you like? You want to raise that? How do you do it?
I don't have a
good. Okay. Okay. So there you go.
Okay, so hello everyone, and welcome to PSI from me too. I have to say, PSI is an exciting program, and one of the amazing and unique features of the program is that it brings together people from all around the world. So you've all come from different countries, you have different backgrounds, you have different interests, you do share a common passion for physics, that's why you're here. But I think it would be a great time to start the year with just introducing yourselves to everybody else. So in order to do this, each one of you to take, say, about a minute and talk about yourselves. And to help you in this, we want you to mention the following things. So first of all, tell us what your name is and how you would like to be addressed to. Then maybe tell us where you came from. So if you want, you can tell us where you were born, where you studied, you can tell us both. And then tell us one more thing about yourselves. This can be what interests you in physics or what you like to do in your free time or anything about your ambitions in the future or whatever. We're going to take a short break to let you think about that, but just to give you an example, and this is the secret reason why I wasn't introduced before, I'm going to introduce myself. So my name is Anna, and I was born in Greece, where I first studied physics. And then I went to England, London, where I did my PhD in string theory and cosmology with Nick Mavromatos. And I have been in Waterloo now for a year as a PSI fellow. And if I have to say one thing about this year, I can say that one of the most exciting things I did for the first time in my life was to start to learn to ice skate. And if I'm not too scared this year, I might try and do it again. So now we can take a 10-minute break.
Let's take 10.
10 minutes, yeah. So if you can try to be back by 10 past 10, we can hear more from you.